And so by Jesus prophetically, symbolically cursing the tree, it was an acknowledgement that Israel, as a nation in their own land, was not going to continue for much longer. And it was within a generation, less than 40 years later, that Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus, the Roman general. The city burned, the temple torn down. And if that's all that we had, we'd say, what on earth does that have to do with our new facility? But if we keep going in that passage in Mark 11, Jesus takes the cursing of the fig tree and draws forth another lesson that will be the lesson that I want to share with you this morning. On Tuesday morning, Jesus and his disciples are again leaving Bethany, going down the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, into Jerusalem. Again, they pass by the same fig tree, except this time there are no leaves. This time it's been withered up from the roots all the way up. And Peter looks at Jesus and said, Master, see, look at that tree. That's the tree you've cursed. How did it happen so quickly? And Jesus then says these words, have faith in God. That if you have that kind of faith, you could say to this mountain, and they were crossing over the Mount of Olives at the time, you could say to this mountain, be plucked up and thrown into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say is going to happen, it will come to pass. And then he gives this general promise of prayer. He says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it shall be yours. Now, we know that sometimes people take that verse out of context and they use it as their own personal promise box from God, as a genie in a bottle, that they could get whatever they want. We know that we need to pray in Jesus' name as if Jesus were praying. That we need to pray in accordance with the will of God, because John tells us that if we pray according to the will of God, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we asked of him. But let's not minimize the promise. That when we know what the will of God is, because God has spoken it into our hearts, and we know what the will of God is because it lines up with the word, then we can, in faith, pray, believing that we shall receive and it will be given to us. We are in a building that is being built by faith. 14 years ago, the church met in an Elks Lodge because of the flood of the century. And we unanimously voted to relocate. We felt it was God's will to leave South Grand Street and the flooding behind. How many believe that was the will of God to move? Okay, that's why whenever we have floods today, although we certainly grieve for those who suffer, we do have sort of an approach, who cares, because we're up here and not on South Grand Street. But nonetheless, we made a unanimous decision to move, and a land committee was formed. And for 6 years, that land committee searched out property. Piece after piece after piece. We'd find a good piece, but the price was too high. We'd find a piece that had a good price, but it wasn't suitable. Again and again, they ended up contacting landowners. We put advertisements. We did everything we knew to do to look for it, but we continued to believe by faith that God had a piece of property for us. And a year or two before this one we bought, this parcel, part of it, became available. The piece over where the police barracks is and the house. But we felt, the land committee felt, this plateau where we are now was God's piece. The landowner at that time didn't agree. They wanted the house and the 5 acre before they'd even consider this. We didn't want the house or the 5 acre piece. And so we waited by faith. And it was a year or two later that I got a call from Sandy Poole, the realtor at Now Realty USA. She goes, Ray, remember that piece you looked at before? They want to sell the whole thing. We came over, we made an offer, and 155 acres became the property of Calvary Assembly of God in trust for the Lord by faith. By faith. So, did God want something on this property? I would say that first point, by faith, yes. This is where we're supposed to be. Then came the infamous zoning issue. We bought the property, paid for it in 2002. We were so excited. We got our planned development district. We were thinking, this is it. We're going to roll. We are on a momentum is going forward. And bam, voted down. voted down by the town board and the planning board. Said, you're not building there. In fact, at the time, the supervisor looked at me and he said, why on earth would you buy property that wasn't zoned to build a church? And my words to him were in that meeting, by faith, we believe that is the peace that God has given our church. And so we waited, we did all that we were called to do, and it was a few years later that God turned the hearts of the king, and unanimously the community leaders approved the building of a church on this property by faith. Not only did they approve it, they wholeheartedly supported it and said, when it's built, invite us to your dedication service. Are you beginning to get a sense this just might be a God thing? I'm stirring your faith. My hope is to encourage you by faith, to stir up that faith and challenge you to stretch that faith, because we are at a point, twice now, we have had a situation where we saw what was God and we faced an obstacle. See, true faith will not be overrun by obstacles. True faith will have their faith strengthened by obstacles, but a fake confidence will be destroyed by the obstacles. We believe by faith this was the land and God gave it to us even though we waited. We believe that this was supposed to be where we build a church, and even though they said no at first, by faith we persevered and God gave us the zoning. Now let's talk about the financing. When it came to pay for this, God had allowed us in 2000, 2001, and 2002 to set aside $60,000 in a separate bank account for the down payment on the property. For 13 weeks, but Bill Caldwell Bennett, challenged the congregation to believe by faith and to give sacrificially. And when he was done, $40,000 came in, giving us $100,000 towards the purchase price of $125,000, which, by the way, for 155 beautiful acres, if you haven't seen the view, for $783 an acre. We took out a note, and I'm rehearsing some of this you've already heard before, but I need to remind you of the goodness of God. Because when you get stuck with an obstacle, there's a tendency to focus on the obstacle and forget the faithfulness of God. $25,000 note we took out for 10 years, and we began paying ahead on it, and 2.5 months in, a person came up to me and said, how much do you owe? And they wrote a check for either $18,000 or $19,000, and in 2.5 months, after the time we paid for this, this thing was debt-free. And in June of 2002, we had a mortgage burning ceremony under the tent. Are you starting to get the impression this just might be a God thing? And then God allowed the foolishness, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but the foolishness of people buying land in a flood zone to build a building in a flood zone. God allowed that decision to be overturned by his grace, and a FEMA grant came in and bought out our property through the village and gave us, for 1/4 acre of land in a flood zone with deteriorating walls, $212,000 for our building project. Is that God? And we didn't seek it, they sought us. And then a family comes forward from the community and says, like what you're doing, believe in what you're doing, I'll match you. You give $150,000, I'll give $150,000. And so over an 8-year period, God has provided this church with over $700,000. And so then we hit a delay, just like we hit a delay with the purchase of the land, just like we hit a delay with the zoning, we hit a delay and we've been unfinished. But God is not finished. Just this week, God comes through again in a way that we would not have expected. We have a donation being made in goods to the church in a way that we didn't expect. The land, the zoning, the money, step by step, by faith, God is building this facility. And I've shared with you before, and I'll share with you again, this facility is not the end. Getting this thing done is not the end. It is a means to an end for God to be glorified. His intention is to let this facility speak a prophetic word to the community that has been bound for four centuries with a victimization mindset that says nothing can change, I'm broken and I'm stuck. God, in the worst economy in our generation, in one of the poorest counties in all of New York State, God is building this facility debt-free so at the end he could say, look what I can do with you. So Jesus' words transplanted 20 centuries. Church of Jesus Christ, Calvary Assembly, have faith in God. And whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, shall receive it. And it will be done to you by the Father. But then he adds one other thing. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. Yesterday, Alistair, Phil Armland, and I were at a men's retreat. And as we're sitting there in the afternoon service, the speaker gets up and he goes, I want you to open your Bibles to Mark 11. My face went white. I looked over. I said, Alistair, he's going to take my text. Sure enough, he took my text. He preached my message. And I went up there to him and I said, with Alistair with me, I said, I just want to make it clear. I already had the message done before you preached. I'm not stealing your message. But he said in this message that unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness is an obstacle to faith. And because that's the case, during the course of our concert of prayer, as we go through praying, we're going to have a season of prayer where you and the Lord get alone, and if there's anything you have against any brother or sister in Christ or somebody else that may have done you dirt, today is the day to give that debt to God and just let God take care of it. You get free inside. You move forward so that you, by faith, can believe with all of us together for what God wants to do in this church. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that is just as real, just as relevant today as it was 20 centuries ago. You spoke the word that this place was to be where your building was built, and you gave us the land. You spoke that this was the place where the facility was to be erected, and you changed the hearts of the community leaders to unanimously support the zoning. You said this was the place that a house of worship that would bring hope, healing, and wholeness to the region would be established. And you have been providing the funds and the materials to do that. And so as we go to a season of prayer, a concert of prayer, corporately as the body of Christ, we pray, Lord, that you would work within us as we pray that you would stir faith, if it hasn't been stirred already, that you would stir the faith so that we would have faith in God. That we would believe that you who began a good work don't just start things, you finish them. And that corporately together, Lord, our faith would grow in you because you love it when people trust you. You take great delight when people believe you. And we want to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could have our elders and pastoral staff leadership team, here's what we're going to do. As they come forward at this time, we're going to lead in what's called a concert of prayer. And what that means is we're going to give you an opportunity, and we're literally going to give you an opportunity to move into different areas of the facility wherever you'd like to pray. Maybe your heart is for the little ones, and so you're going to beeline it back for the nursery and the little learners. Maybe you're a teacher and you want to head over to the classrooms. I don't know what to say about the bathrooms, but if you need to go there and pray, you can do that too. But what we want to do is we want to have you literally fan out. Now, the reason I'm doing this, the Lord prompted by way of Michael Mills. Michael is a missionary, Terry Lawton's brother. Michael was with us, and he was part of our cleanup day. And he said that he was building a building in Ecuador, and he said everything was going great, and then we hit a wall. And he said, I couldn't figure out what was up. And the Lord began to stir my heart to call the people to pray, just like Ezekiel prayed to the dry bones. He said, get in the bones, get in the skeleton of your building and spread the people out and have them begin to pray and prophesy to the bones that God would finish. He said, I just believe you need to do this. And I said, well, you know, that's interesting because we have May 23rd where we can't meet at St. Vincent's. I said, how about we do it then? And so we're doing this, I believe, led of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to give you a chance to literally move and we'll give you about 2 or 3 minutes to do that. You can take your chair and move if you want, or can stand. And what we're going to do is we're going to lead you through a series of prayers. You're going to do some praying on your own. We're going to pray. But for the next chunk of time, we're going to literally flood this place with prayer to the Father.